Good morning. You have your Bibles with you. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. We'll be beginning in verse 26. You know, as I was preparing this week, I don't think it really hit me. So I woke up this morning and I thought about it a lot that, you know, today and what we remember today, what we celebrate today, is really the reason we're here, period. Without what happened that day some 2,000 years ago on Easter Sunday, you and I wouldn't be here in this building. This building would not be here. We might not even know one another. Everything we are as Christians, everything we say that we believe, everything that we have in God's Word for us right now, all of it boils down to this day. You may think this an odd place to begin. Here in Matthew 26, as we look at the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper, but I think that it is very fitting in what we are doing here today. As we talked last week about the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem, we talked about the crowds, the people who were so happy to see Him, who came out as He rode on this donkey into town from the east gate, as they ran and they threw their coats out in the roads cover His path. And if they didn't have a coat, they went and cut down the fronds from a palm tree and laid them, and they began shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, save us," to the one who's been sent from the Lord. The sad truth of the matter is that in just a few short days, those same people who were shouting, "Save us," to Christ, were out in the streets shouting, "Crucify Him." A sad testament to the human nature, to the fickleness of man, and the very reason that Christ had to come in the first place. I don't feel adequate this morning to even describe what's going on here, the feeling and the joy, and at the same time the sadness that this event marks for us. I don't think anybody really can. But as we look this morning, as these events that we're looking at right now are taking place on a Thursday evening, mere hours from the time when Jesus Christ will go to the garden to pray, and the world of His disciples will turn upside down. As the soldiers come and arrest Christ, as He endures the pain and the agony of the beatings and mockings that will lead up to His crucifixion, the fear that takes over in the lives of His disciples as they scatter and go their separate ways in a fear for their lives. This event, this dinner together, as they enjoy what are the last moments of their earthly ministry under the leadership of Christ in a physical sense, are very telling, and not just about them, but about Christ and His love for them. Over in Luke, I believe it is, as Luke tells this, he starts out before all this, before he begins to institute this, what we call the Lord's Supper. He tells his disciples, I earnestly wanted to have this meal with you before the things that are about to transpire happen. I want to have this meal with you. It's something I've been seeking out. And so this Thursday evening, as all of this is taking place, as he's made preparations and this upper room is prepared, they're meeting together. He says in verse 26, "Now as they were eating," that is, they were eating the Passover meal together, "Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" This short passage describing an event that took place some 2,000 years ago between a rabbi and his disciples, which we commemorate each and every Sunday as we come together, as we take part in this meal, how central, how important it is to our faith, as it reminds us of the love that Christ had for His disciples, that even as he was preparing to die, to be beaten and scourged and mocked and crucified, that he thought enough of his disciples to want to have this time with them, even as he's struggling with all the feelings of his humanity about what's about to take place. The love that he has to do this. We partake in this Lord's Supper. We're not just taking a thimble-sized cup full of grape juice. We're not just eating a piece of unsalted cracker. It's a fellowship that we have as we are reminded of the love of Christ for us, a love that we should have for one another. As we think about this supper that Christ had with his disciples and that we have each and every Sunday, we need to understand some things about it. And especially today, how important it is. Especially in the fact that as we partake in this communion, we are partaking in his sacrifice. Do not say to them, take, eat, this is my body. Take, all of you, drink of this cup. The very words themselves are an invitation by Christ. Participate in this. Be a part of this. Partake in this. This is my sacrifice for you. The blood of my new covenant. As we partake in it together, we think about what it means. We think about our faith and the very things that we do that sometimes we just take for granted. Sometimes things we just do because of our duty or an obligation that we feel. We forget the meaning behind them. So we think about baptism and the fact that in baptism we're not just getting dunked in a tub full of water. We're not just symbolically showing something, but in baptism we're partaking in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Rising out of those baptismal waters, not changed by some magical force in the water, but changed spiritually inside into a new creation by Christ, by his death, by his burial, and most importantly, by his resurrection. In that same way, in that Lord's Supper, we are partaking in the sacrifice. As he gave his life, as he was taken and taken alone as his disciples abandoned him, as he was beaten and mocked, he had his hair pulled, was beaten with a whip that just dug into his flesh and left him bloodied and bruised, as his hands were placed on a piece of wood and with a nail as big as a railroad spike as they were driven in. The fact that he was with love able to say even then to the people who were doing this, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The love that he has in the form of this sacrifice is something that we partake in each and every time we take of this. The fact that that sacrifice of love, that sacrifice that brought us salvation, as we think about that, as we approach the table, as we partake in this, we're partaking in that sacrifice ourselves. We are proclaiming it for ourselves. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, as Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians, over in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says to them in verse 16, as he's writing to them, he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? We're taking part in that. His body, which was given for us, his blood, which was shed to cover our sins, that's what we partake of each and every Sunday as we partake of this Lord's Supper. Each and every Sunday we commemorate the events that transpired on this day. We remember that and we honor that. We honor his memory by doing this. We partake in his sacrifice. We honor his memory. Still in 1 Corinthians, over in the next chapter, chapter 11, as Paul recounts this event, he says in verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This supper ought to bring to our remembrance the things that Christ went through, that he endured some 2,000 years ago, not for someone else, not for those other people out there, but for me. As he was beaten and bloodied, as he was crucified and laid on that cross and raised to be mocked by those who lived around him and spat upon and jeered at, all of that was not something that he brought on himself. It was something I brought on him and you brought on him. As we do this, each and every time, we're to remember that sacrifice, the fact that we partake in it with him anew each and every time, and that in doing so, we proclaim his death until he comes again. Do this in remembrance of me. It keeps it fresh in our minds, the things that he endured because of my sins, the blows that he took, everything that he went through because of my unrighteousness, because of the things that I do each and every day that fail to live up to everything he was. Do this in remembrance of me. We need to keep this fresh in our minds, not just as we partake of this, but each and every day as we live as Christians, as we seek to be what we say we are. It needs to be kept fresh in our minds. It needs to remind us of the price that was paid for you and I. The price that was paid so that we would not have to face this, so that in Jesus Christ, his blood would cover us and the Father would look on us and find in us righteousness, not because of who we are or what we might be able to do or could ever do, but because of his Son and what he did for us. I'm reminded of the weight of this, the gravity of this situation, by the knowledge that the love of Christ extended not just to those 12 individuals there in that room with him, not just to those people who were there as he was enduring all of this, but to me as well. The fact that I can trust in him, that even if it were just me and it was just my sin that took him there, he would have endured it just for that. Even if it was just you and it was just your sin, he would have gone to that hill. He would have endured everything he did just for that. Just to bring you to his Father and clothe you in his righteousness through his blood, which he would shed for you and for me. As we partake in that sacrifice, each time we do this, as we honor his memory, as we proclaim him with all of our lives, as we honor him, that participation leads to proclamation through our very lives. The things that we are, again, would we even be here without this moment, without these things that transpire? We would not be in this place. So our very lives proclaim this death that took place for others, for us, each and every day. It's a way to tell others by our actions. The very fact that we hold fast to what we've been taught tells us, tells others about the death of Christ and what it means for us and what it can mean for them. As we participate in his sacrifice, as we proclaim his memory, we also cooperate with him each and every Sunday as we do this. We cooperate with him in taking part in the Lord's Supper. Notice as he speaks to his disciples as they partake of this, he tells them to take and eat this bread, which is my body, to take and drink this wine, which represents my blood of the new covenant. But he tells them, I'm not going to partake of this again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. We've talked about his kingdom before. Whatever it may be, whatever may be involved in that, we know we're a part of it, and we're in that kingdom right now. And as we partake in this, the Lord's Supper, he partakes in it with us. He is there to drink it anew, to eat it anew with us, in his Father's kingdom.
This isn't just a memorial. It's not just a symbol. Like I say, it's not just a shot glass full of grape juice. It's not just a little bitty piece of cracker that we break off.
It's not an empty ritual, just something we've gotten into the habit of doing as we understand the life that was given for us, the life that we live each and every day to honor that sacrifice, to make it real in our lives. He is with us. He partakes in this with us each and every time we do this. As often as you do this, you proclaim his death, you proclaim everything that he went through and endured for you, for me. We take part in this with Jesus Christ.
As we do take part in this, in a moment, as we take part in the Lord's Supper here this morning, we need to consider that, to understand that, the fact that God and his Son Jesus Christ is with us here this morning, taking part in this as we partake in this.
As we think about this day and everything that's gone into it to bring about my salvation, the thousands of years that Christ waited to come to give his life for us, the plan that his Father had in place before he ever created anything to bring me salvation. And he thought about you, and he thought of a way to bring you back and bring me back into a fellowship with him in the fullness of time. God did all this for us. As we partake in this, as we think about this on this Easter Sunday, let us not forget why we're here. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah writes, "Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." We need to remember that. We don't need to let go of that. The fact that everything he endured for us was a result of our sin. And yet he went willingly. Yet the Father says he willingly crushed his own Son that we might have life in him, that we might be his. We remember why he came. We remember why he died. The story does not end there. The story doesn't end there. And if it did, what a sad day it would be. What a sad occasion this would be. As I said, many of us probably wouldn't be here, if any of us at all, if that were the end of the story. The fact that he came and he died and he endured all these things and he gave his life because of sin. That's not where it stops. And thankfully, that is what we are here this morning as we remember those things that led up to this, the moment that we are celebrating today, the moment that we look to today is found in Matthew 28. Not in Matthew 26, not in Matthew 27, as all this takes place. But as we look in verse 1 of Matthew 28, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went up to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. They fainted, these strong soldiers. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay.'" The story did not end when he was taken. The story did not end when he was beaten, when he was crucified, when he died and was placed into that tomb. The story still hasn't ended. We remember what led up to his death, his burial, but more than anything today, we look to his resurrection. The joy that that means for you and I, because without that resurrection, I have no hope. Without that resurrection, I'm lost in my sins. Without that resurrection, I am dead, spiritually speaking, and I'm already dead inside. Without him, my life has no meaning apart from him. We're about to partake in this Lord's Supper. Something that to us is more than a symbol of what he did. It ought to be a reminder to us as we partake in this sacrifice that he gave for us. This is my body. This is my blood. As we honor his memory, as we think about the things that he endured for us, for me, as we cooperate with him, as he partakes with us in his kingdom, let's never let go of the reason why this had meaning for us. Not because he came, not because he lived a sinless life, not because he died, but because he was raised from the grave. Because he got up after 3 days and he was raised from the grave and rose in a new life to give us life, to bring us the salvation that we yearned for so long. Plan of God brought to completion in him. As we partake of this in just a moment, let us remember his sacrifice. Let us proclaim it with our lives. Let's take part in it with him.